Good morning. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. I am Matt Jordan, and here on this Friday, the third Friday of the month, we have Representative Jim Kelly on the line. We'll get to Representative Kelly. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm really good, except for the rain and a little nasty weather.
Yeah, you know, we saw some really nice temperatures this week, but now it's cooled off a bit, and it's kind of dreary outside, but, you know, we probably needed the rain. I know we've had some fire danger here in the area the last couple of days, so.
Yeah, it is the same. We do need it. Here in Topeka, it's rain and mixed in with just a little snow right now, so.
Interesting.
Some slush. But the rain is welcome, and I like it in this form better than I like ice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm right there with you. So, all right, well, you know, we've talked a lot about redistricting at the congressional level, but also, you know, the Senate, the House, the school board has to do it as well, and you guys have been working on the House map, and it looks like that's going to be ready to vote on sometime early next week.
That's what I think. It looks like we had a meeting last night, probably about 6 or 6:30, and then it was reported at the meeting. I'm on the redistricting committee that it should be ready to bring to us sometime around 10:30 this morning to work the bill in our committee, and the feeling is it'll be sent out to the full House, and that, like you said, early next week there'll be a vote on the House map. And the early indications that I feel anyway is not everyone is happy, but I think there's the possibility of having a fairly strong vote in favor of this map, and that's really a credit to the chairman, Chris Croft, and some of the help that he has, that this may be possible to come out with a map that's got a pretty favorable vote. At least that's what it looked like last night.
Well, that's good to hear, because you know they've had their the congressional redistricting map has had its challenges, and I know the Senate map, there were some questions about it as well. So that's good. So how does it look like the map, or at least things you've heard? Because I don't know if you said you saw it or not yet, but how does it look like it affects Southeast Kansas?
Southeast Kansas, I think, comes out probably as best. As good as could be expected with the fact of the population decline that we have. There's some shifting around of the districts, the district's boundary lines. I mean, between myself, Doug Blex, who would be to the west of the 11th district, and Rich Crail, that would be to the east of the district and on up. But I think overall, we came out pretty well. I mean, there was a fear that I think there's three districts that were moved, had to be moved up into the Johnson County area, not just from Southeast Kansas, but ones where population forced a spread out of a district in western or central Kansas outside of the metro areas. And a little rearranging of our districts to accommodate the population growth in Johnson and Wyandotte County and some of the other counties. But I think overall, Southeast Kansas came out pretty well. And the congressional map, I mean, the reason I like that map that came out of the House anyway was because it was favorable for Southeast Kansas. It kept basically all the Southeast Kansas communities in the 2nd District and kept us kind of unified like we've been in the past. Did it split us up? For I know there were concerns about it in other parts of the state, but my main concern was for Southeast Kansas, and I think that was the best congressional map for us. We'll have to see what the court thinks because, like you said, it's been challenged. The House map, I think, for Southeast Kansas is real, real favorable. I mean, everyone had to take on a little bit more territory because we all lost population in our counties, but I think we came out really as good as I feel we could have hoped for.
Now, last week when I talked to Senator Peck about the Senate map, he said they like to try not to divide counties between Senate districts. Is it the same with the House? Do they like to try to keep counties in the same, or could you see where, you know, say, and I don't know if this is how it is, but as an example, like Montgomery County was split in half or something, or do they like to try to keep it together?
Well, on the House map, that's fairly difficult. I mean, because, there are, they do like to keep the counties together, and I think they did a pretty good job. But, you know, there's some counties that were, you know, maybe in western Kansas, a House representative has been covering, say, 10 counties, and now they may cover 14 counties just because of the population. They did try to keep them together, what I saw of the map. Senate, it's a little bit easier for the fact there's just 40 of them, and in the House, 25. There are some counties that are split, you know, as we are. Montgomery County actually has, currently, we have three representatives that cover us in District 7, mine 11, and Representative Black's 12, it looks like it, when we see the final boundary lines, it looks like we may just have myself and Representative Black's covering Montgomery County. But in our county, cities are still on this map. Independence is still split between me and Representative Black's. Coffeyville on this map, I have in it all of Coffeyville and all the surrounding area of Coffeyville, which I didn't have before. So there were some things done there, but in some cases the lines were done just because the numbers did not expand out too far for some representatives. They split potentially some cities and some counties and you know, for us, a county of about 31,000, you're probably going to have a split because the ideal district is 23,000 plus. So you're going to have at least two, So it's quite a process. I mean, it's been amazing to watch and to see the maps they put together. And when they bring us in to look at them, they can drill down to the street level and show you, here's how many people live in this little area. And the one thing that I've seen on the House map, and I'm assuming I haven't seen the process on the Senate. The Senate map, but the question was asked in our committee day before yesterday. When you look at these numbers, are you looking at head counts or are you looking at, you know, breakdowns, demographic breakdowns, party breakdowns? And the answer from the research folks that put it all together is that it's totally based on people, numbers, heads, to come up with 23,000 people in the district. So, I mean, that's the main thing they look at and look for population areas to pick up people. And that, I mean, that's what the response to that question was. And looking at the map, they can go into an area, zero in, and it tells you how many people are in that area. Live in that area and say, well, this would give you 50 more people trying to make up your ideal district. Because the courts, I believe, say that it has to be plus or minus 5% of the ideal number, which I don't remember. It's 23,000. I can't remember whether it's 400, 500 or something, but it's quite a process to watch. And I, like I said, I do think Southeast Kansas ended up as in the best shape that I could have hoped for going through, knowing that all of us had lost population.
Well, that is good to hear, at least, that looks like the SEK is going to end up in good standing. So, unfortunately, we are out of time this morning, so we will look forward to talking to you come April.
I will look forward to it, too, and at that time we may be able to, it was my fault this morning, but have a little bit more time, and things will be at the break point, so we can cover everything that happened in the regular session part.
All right. Well, looking forward to that kind of update about the first part there. So you have a great rest of your Friday and enjoy your weekend, sir.
You too, and thanks very much.
Yep, take care.